Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love. It's 90-day gate. Let's love.
Hello, everyone. It's a crossover.
You said that like someone was goose-eating you.
Hello.
Y'all, welcome to 90 Day Gaze. We're doing a crossover with the women from A Date with Dateline. Kimberly and Katie are in the his house.
Hey, girls.
Yay. Hi.
Now, be sure to say who's who so everybody knows.
I'm Kimberly.
And I'm Katie.
Ooh, and Katie, it's so funny that you said that. We just had an episode of Dateline where Keith Morrison used the expression goosed, and I literally had to ask Katie if it meant what I thought it did, because I wasn't quite sure.
Did it? Did it mean what you thought? What did you think it meant?
Things usually tend to be more sexual than I think they are, so I thought it was just grabbing someone's butt.
Oh.
Oh, no.
With Keith Morrison, he was like, a man found a body at the edge of a pool
and
didn't really think anything of it. Suddenly, he was goosed by someone.
That's really good. We should send that in. Let's see if
a man found a body. He's got, in rhetoric terms and speech terms, he's got what we call a nice amplitude rate of work. He goes really high and then low.
Ooh, amplitude rate.
I love that. I just knew it was shivers.
Shut up.
I'm kidding. We're super happy to have y'all. Y'all, obviously, for our listeners, if you're not familiar with your show, y'all give us the quick and dirty about the stuff that y'all talk about on your podcast.
We do lovingly snarky recaps of Dateline episodes. So we recap the episodes and then we do like a fashion police and we do alternative theories and we come up with different titles and we have MVPs and we read funny Twitter comments and we just have a lot of fun making fun of murder, I guess.
You know what? There's a place for that.
Yeah.
There's a place. And here, and I think also because Dateline is everywhere. Like it's on, like on, even on MSNBC, mm-hmm. Dateline is on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So Dateline, yeah. There's been a lot of Datelines.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of people murdering each other.
Oh, we're on like season 29, right? What's the
area? That much?
Well, they didn't always do murder, but they started doing murder when they saw how hot murder was. It's been a big, it's been a big decade for murder, and so murder's having a moment right now, and so they're doing all murder all the time. Yeah.
Wow. I'm good with it. I love a good murder.
Now, y'all also got sucked into 90 Day Fiance though, too, right?
Yeah.
Well, we were already in that. That's been a long-term relationship. I'm still dating Dateline, but 90 Day Fiance is more of a serious type thing.
I'm bringing it over on a K-1 visa right now.
Yeah.
Ours is quite abusive.
Definitely.
Our relationship with 90 Day is very abusive.
Mm-hmm.
When they put 13 shows in a week, I wish I was dead.
Speaking of, what did y'all think of that tell-all last? I guess last night, part three, the couples tell more.
The couples tell more, which is a made-up term.
Yeah. They told less. I feel like they told us nothing. And speaking of abusive relationships, I do feel like because you guys both have therapy backgrounds, right?
I'm he's a therapist. I'm a life coach.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like I'm hurting myself by continuing to watch, and yet I still do. I don't actively like any of these people. In fact, I actively dislike them, but yet I come back for more. And so that it's really, I really need to look into that. So wait, I might be booking an appointment later.
Erica. Yeah, Erica is kind of like the one redeeming person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Erica and we kind of like, we're kind of okay with Avery, even though she's made a lot of bad decisions.
What did y'all, I'm interested from a woman perspective, or as Dean would say,
a female.
But as a woman perspective, like,
a vagina perspective.
I bring that up because feminism and masculine was a part of their story arc in Avery and Ash's relationship. So I want to ask, what did y'all think about Avery and Ash and kind of the shit show that was?
I should correct myself because not all females are born with a vagina. I want to make that very clear. So
that's true.
I'm not J.K. Rowling here. But Katie and I had very interesting discussion about that seminar because I didn't think it was as bad until I started doing a little research because I always kind of thought that men and women's brains worked differently and not in the way he was saying it. He was saying it like a jackass, but I looked into it and then I found out that that's really dated thinking and I didn't even know that. So Ash's ignorance revealed my own in a way. So thank you.
Ash. Wow.
So yeah. We all learned via a complete
Kimberly. What about you, Katie?
Well, I was very pro Avery after the seminar because I thought that okay, let's put it this way. I understand why she was like, what are you trying to say? Like, what are you saying when she's sort of going after him and his eyes, he's like kind of going nuts. She was kind of letting him have it. And I get it because I'm like, well, yeah, I probably would have been like, I don't know what you're trying to say, but you're not saying that. So say what you're trying to say and stop saying this other stuff that's making all of these women in your seminar get sweaty and angry. And so, but I didn't understand. I don't understand why I thought the relationship was over at that point. And then
yes,
it kept.
Why are we acting like it's not
then
over?
Why are we meeting the sun? I thought you're done. Fly back. Goodbye. Thank you. It didn't work out. You're not a good match. Bye. And nope. They're still in it.
Meeting the sun after that.
My theory on that is that it's a problem for almost all the Before the 90 Dayers and even the other way. I would say the whole franchise. No one wants to fail.
Yes.
Right. And so they will pursue it until the very end. So because they will think I've wasted all this time. Yes. I can't let this go. And where I'm like, you better cut bait, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, stop.
No one wants to look like they made a mistake in front of their friends that doubted them. And it's like people will respect you more if you just admit that you effed up. I can say the F word.
Example, Rose. People respect Rose more for like breaking up with him instead of being like, he could actually really help me get to the United States.
Every single thing Rose said on the tell-all, we believe.
Yes. About that sex video thing.
Yeah, I totally believe it.
Yeah, totally. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Ed is a slime. And the fact that he thinks people want to like buy his stickers or like him on a regular basis is absurd to
me. There's some people that do. There's like four people.
Watching the show?
I don't know. But
mom, his daughter.
There's nobody in our sissy squad. Nobody in our. But there are.
Everyone
people.
Despises Big Ed.
So I have to say, I have a very controversial question.
Great.
Did you care about what was in Tom's notes or could you give two shits? What about Tom and Darcy, the way they handled that?
Is there such a thing as less than two shits? I didn't I don't. Kimberly has a very difficult relationship with Darcy.
I'm with Darcy specifically. I get very frustrated with Darcy because I tend to just scream at Katie, why won't she be her own Prince Charming? And
That's a good line. And,
it drives me crazy. I'm like, she's too old. She needs to know better and stop believing in this fairy tale. And she picks these men that are, they just want to be on camera. I can't. So no, I can't with Tom. I see right through him. I don't think he's charming. And no, I didn't need to see a letter that he had months to actually prepare. I don't even know if that was the letter that was actually in at her house. I don't care. I think he just wants to be on TV. And I think he kept trying to rekindle things with her so he could pull out his screen time. The same with Big Ed. Like, I think Big Ed is trying to be charming on these shows to position himself to get on Pillow Talk. I think that's why he was trying to be funny. And I'm not having it. I mean, yes, I probably will have it. I probably will watch Pillow Talk. Yeah. But I was about to say,
I really like Kimberly because she draws a line in the sand and says no more. And then you literally said, but I will have it. I will have it.
What did you guys think about Tom and Darcy?
I want to go into Darcy because Darcy is kind of another step in a gay icon because they are put upon. She has been harmed. She's like Judy Garland 11.0.
Without
talent.
Talent.
But she's just this living Instagram meme that just regurgitates stuff like, gotta stay strong. Gotta be my own best friend. You know, I'm just
focusing on my kids right now. I'm focusing on my kids. I'm focusing on myself. I'm focusing on my kids.
I'm in a really good place.
Stay strong.
I just do impressions of you guys doing impressions of Darcy. that's what
Cray Cray said they do. They do impressions of Maddie doing baby girl Lisa. Yes.
I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore because I was losing my voice between Darcy and Stacey. Ugh, it was too much.
And Yolanda. I do my impression of you guys doing Yolanda as well. Yeah.
The stupidest person alive.
Can we hear it?
I am not familiar.
That's very good. I said I'm not familiar for like 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
I probably started saying it and Katie had no idea what I was talking about.
That was true the first time. I was like, And then can I hear the real thing next to Kimberly's?
Yeah.
Back to back.
I'm not familiar with background chicks.
And there's the laugh underneath.
It's always the laugh. It's always the giggle. Always.
How far back have you guys watched 90 Days? Was this your first season to watch?
No, Katie's OG.
They've been in from the beginning. Yeah.
First season. Very beginning, every season we've watched, but this is the first one we've actually talked about on our show. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm not sure if this was the best season to pick.
Oh no, it was our only season. In my opinion, these are the worst people they've had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So moving on to some better people then, because I also want to talk, we're going to talk about some murder stuff. But before, since y'all have watched all, we have not, like we haven't seen some of these people on Happily Ever After.
Okay.
And you have.
Yes.
So what were your first thoughts, each of you, with this first episode of Happily Ever After?
Who's on it again?
It's Colt, confusing.
It's Colt and Larissa.
Oh, Larissa. God.
There's
he's dating and she's dating.
Yeah, so you didn't see their season.
No, we have not.
You guys have to watch that season.
Yeah, I feel like the show is, my dad just started watching 90 Day and now he's watching all of them, but I can't talk to him about it because I get really frustrated because he doesn't know the backstory. So like the show in their flashback scenes are not giving an adequate portrayal of what a nightmare Larissa was. Like she's insane, and the fact that now she's getting all these surgeries instead of sending money to her kids, these kids that she never mentioned her whole season, like we didn't even know she had kids back home, she never told us on the audience.
You're surprised she's getting surgery instead of sending money back? No, that surprises
me. Not surprised. Oh. But the depth of her horribleness just. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes she starts crying and I go, aw.
We had a really interesting response because we kind of went off on her because we saw some of the background stories. And there were people in our Facebook group who's like, oh, yeah, I kind of like Larissa. I'm kind of for her.
And then people came, and people are like,
what?
That's insane to me.
Now, some people that – now, we were surprised that because we don't know, again, we just think he's hot. But people were coming from Andre and Elizabeth as well.
He's kind of horrible in a might become abusive.
I agree. Tomorrow. I will say in one scene, he slapped her phone out of her hands.
Yeah.
And I actually physically recoiled
to
see that because it makes me nervous to see any kind of violence like that. But I will say her family is a rogues gallery. Holy shit.
Yeah, they seem they're literally all awful. They are like the Justice League of Doom or whatever. like any realm that Lex Luthor is gonna come in and say, yes.
But like he was awful first, I feel like.
Oh, really?
He was awful, and the amount of times that they've borrowed money from the dad, he promised the dad as soon as he could work, he would get a job and support them. Instead, the dad put them up in a house because the dad like owns rental properties. The one thing he asked was mow the lawn. They didn't mow the lawn. Then they decided they wanted more money so they could move to a better place. So he gave them more money. He paid like everything he pays for. And now he wants
that. And now he wants Andre to pay for that wedding.
Have to pay for the wedding.
Oh, wow.
It's insane. So now, he's so lazy.
Now everyone's just a con artist, I feel like, on that season. And this sounds really even shallower, but Elizabeth's mouth doesn't fit together correctly. And it bothers me to a level. No one else he didn't have a problem with it. I went online and said, is something wrong?
Okay, so on her season, she wore the brightest colored lipstick. Remember, Katie? Like hot pink. And I felt the same. There's something, nothing, I'm sure she's lovely. She's okay on Pillow Talk. They're kind of funny. But like her top lip doesn't like have any sort of movement where it should. And so I found myself one night like on Twitter searching Elizabeth lips just to see if other people thought what I thought. And then I liked a few tweets and then I felt really badly about it.
The sister doesn't have it, right?
Oops, sorry.
No, the sister doesn't have it.
I had tons of people come at me because I talked about it on our most recent podcast. And I had Twitter messages saying people yelled at me about coming for her face. Because
we try not to talk especially about, we don't want to be two men talking about women's appearances.
Yeah, especially if it's something that's not their fault. Like Lisa's crispy hair and banana clip at her wedding, that's fine. But like if it's something they can control, and Elizabeth shouldn't be wearing that color lipstick. And that's coming from me, who knows nothing about makeup.
But that's the problem with Big Ed doing what he did in the Tell All 3. I mean, everybody caught it, right? When Big Ed brings up the neck issue, he's brought it up.
Well, the thing about it is that is the least bad thing about him.
Right.
I mean,
if he wasn't a despicable person, we wouldn't be making fun of it.
I know.
No one would talk about it.
Everyone would take his side.
It's true.
Yes, true. He's a terrible, terrible garbage can.
Yes.
Well, for our listeners, we want to let y'all know, we forgot to say this in the beginning because we always forget shit, but this is going to be part one of our conversation. So this is going to be on the 90 Day Gays podcast feed. And then part two is going to be on a Date with Dateline feed. So the show notes will have a link to that. So be sure to listen to part two there because we're probably not going to talk about it now, but we're definitely going to talk about Drag Race.
Yeah.
So, but before
I'm so excited.
We've got to talk about...
Katie's like finger banging herself right now.
I have notes. I'm ready. I have questions. Rankings. I have like a what's that called? Fantasy drag race league.
Drag race pool.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's But before that, let's jump into some murder, shall we?
Let's jump into murder.
Okay. What do you want to do?
One in particular? Do you have a particular one? That you... I'm just kidding.
Here's our question that people ask us all the time is, since we love 90 Day so much, and you guys know people pretty well, who is the couple that's most likely to wind up on Dateline?
Oh, Paul and Karini. That's not a. Oh. That's not a. Yeah. Even I wouldn't even stop. Yeah.
And you saw their original seasons.
Oh yes,
Paul and Karini were caught up on. Yes.
Yeah.
I think that is a good answer, just because.
No, Paul, she would stab him in the night, and Keith Morrison would go like,
deserved.
A woman scorned. They had problems with language, but did he speak her language of death?
I kind of go back. I think she broke up with him, but I think Ash is a total sociopath. So
yes, thank you.
And so I go back, but honestly, I feel like if he crossed her and took all of her money and ever wised up, that Evelyn would probably kill Corey and put him on a beach. Oh. He would be that body that wound up on the beach.
Wait, are they still together? I must be behind.
They are still together.
Oh, yeah, they're still together.
Come on, Corey.
He's still in Ecuador. Now, I have to fully admit, I'm a huge Evelyn fan.
Okay, that's insane. That's insane too.
And
Evelyn fan, because you think she deserves better than Corey, or you think that she loves him and is...
I think it's amazing how she's gotten what she's wanted out of this surf Jesus, as I've called him. Because she
was able to sleep with other people.
So it's really not that he's more actually in awe. I'm kind of in awe of her.
As a slutty person, which he is,
which we are, but also as because we're sex positive on our show. So as a as a slut, and also as Jake is also a bitch. So the bitching and the sluttery, he admires.
Like ding, ding, ding. And I will say, she somehow still comes out smelling like a rose with her family, and she still kind of seems like the person who wants the best for him. It's kind of amazing.
Who do y'all think would be on Dateline?
Well, I've always said, and I don't know if you know them, is Danielle and Mohammed.
We have seen a little bit of one episode with them. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good
one. So that was like a full on, whatever we are calling, like a catfish, where they don't want to kiss them on the mouth because they think they're gross, but they're pretending to be in love with them for the green card, whatever that term is, that he was doing to her, and then announced on their tell all that she needed to seek help from a doctor because the smell wasn't right when they would try to have sex.
Yeah, we've been told about the smell of her downstairs.
Yeah. She followed him across the country to try to win him back.
Several times. It's real bad. And then she keeps getting makeovers. It's rough.
Yeah.
She's a couple apples short of a bun.
She is.
I said the same thing, and Katie probably edited it out because she likes me to be nicer.
I think I left in one a nice way. I'm not sure.
Kate, do you feel like Danielle Mohammed, or who's your Dateline couple? I love this question.
That would end up. Well, I definitely think Colty and Larissa. But I think it would be Debbie. I think it would be the mom.
Threw down. She was holding like a fake leg or something.
They were decorating for Halloween.
They were decorating for Halloween. She had a fake arm or something. She threw it down, and then I could see Mother Debbie has this jukebox that she's obsessed with, and Larissa hated it and always wanted it gone.
Slot machine.
Yes. So. Katie's making me think that if she could somehow stage a murder in which the slot machine fell on Larissa and make it look like an accident, it would be very Dateline.
Mm-hmm.
Or she could put her body in the slot machine.
There you go.
And he would be like,
Luck was a lady of death.
Exactly. <Yes. tonight. laughs>
Luck was a lady.
Really
she, she was belied by the big mole on her face, but she still knew what she needed to do.
Now, see, I don't feel like the backstory, they're giving enough of her horrible scenes, Larissa's horrible scenes, and the same with Paul and Karini, because they didn't show when Paul ran off into the woods, and then Karini got, like,
and then Karini got
burglarized. She got mugged.
Like, there's a guy with a machete in front of the cameras. He runs out of nowhere, and it's like, give me your phone, and she's like,
Paul
what?
Running.
That was insane.
Paul, footage of Paul running is... I'm having a bad day. I can watch that.
It's great.
I'll laugh like a fucking crazy
person. It's like Gargamel looking for Smurfs.
It is.
It's so wonderful.
And then there was a scene of him with his mom at the airport that was from, I guess, from the last time he went there, and he was moving there with all his trunks. You know, he brings like trunks of condoms for his penis so that the parasites don't swim up it. And the full body armor and stuff. But he had like one suitcase that was too heavy or something, and he had a meltdown at the airport, and it was one of the scariest things I've seen. And I was like, he's going to kill somebody. Yeah.
That's what I think. I feel like Paul, but I really do believe it would be Karini who stabbed him in the night, Lorena Bobbitt style.
Good for her.
Like, and
I'm fine with that.
She's not we're not a big fan of her either, because like I just stare at her and think, you are always looking like you're smelling a bad fart.
Well, people say that
she's smelling Paul, so it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. And people say that, and this isn't making fun of her, more of just, apparently there is a lot of rumors that she does have bipolar. And so I could see her having a mental break, because Paul beats you down.
Yeah.
He just keeps at you and at
you.
No,
Paul has severe OCD.
But no, but he keeps at her and he just beats you down so much. I could see her just having that whole story we hear about killing someone and it's a blackout. She doesn't remember any of it.
But I will say, weirdly, I would have preferred Paul and Karini on this season versus David and Lana.
Yes.
Or Yolanda and Williams, because at least I feel like they fucking love each other in the most fucked up way possible.
Well,
we were shocked there were two catfish stories, and then when Lana was real, we were like, oh, there weren't two catfish stories, but there really were. Well, I mean, she's
barely
still
real.
Yeah,
so she's barely real.
She's a robot. So,
oh my God, I was just about to say she's a hologram.
We also need to ask you if you've seen last season. Where were you when you found out Maria from Caesar and Maria was real?
Because we'd say that's like when people remember, like when the Challenger disaster happened.
Or when JFK was shot.
Or JFK, or like you remember where you were.
When Maria came on the screen and went, I am not accountant.
And then it was more like Caesar was the weird one. That it wasn't that
the
Caesar was at fault and she was kind of nice.
That was crazy.
She kept implying there were weird secrets that Caesar was not being honest about. We were like, what is happening? My whole world upside down.
Were you guys surprised when Lana came out this season? Because I grabbed my mom's arm and I was like, what?
Someone
got spoiled.
Someone spoiled it for us, unfortunately.
In our Facebook group.
But I will say that I was completely shocked that Lana was real. We have a thing in our Facebook group that my cousin Olga Pudelskaya sometimes calls in. That's my Russian cousin. And apparently Olga has been in charge of the Pudelskaya method with teaching everything that Lana needed to know.
To get
rich white American businessman.
Oh. So.
And then Yolanda jumps in and goes, I am not familiar.
She needs the Pudelskaya method.
My favorite part of the tell-all was when they kept trying to say, like, I think that they're breaking up, and Yolanda would be like, oh, no. I thought they were great together.
What is wrong? Yolanda. Where are her daughters and sons need to just, what? Where were they?
When can you sign over your legal rights to your parents? You can just take them over. Because she needs
power of attorney.
Yeah, she's not returning. She needs that, and all those kids are the same age too. I still don't understand.
Oh yeah, that was confusing. How did that work?
I don't understand her.
So, now, but do you think she was real, like really that naive, or was she catfishing us?
Yeah, I'm curious about
that
too.
We had a little bit of intel from different sources that Williams was kind of a conglomerate of other people.
Oh.
So Williams was both like a version of some guy she met online.
People send us, we're not like frauded or we're not like crazy. Like, we don't dig into the gossip and the news. Some people really
do.
We
just send us stuff.
People then send us shit like at 1:30 in the morning when they're like, and so we will read it.
And then after someone leaves my bed, I'm just reading it and crying.
because there's something, you know, we thought, like, her house was weird. It didn't look like a real house.
Yes,
like
the house.
It looks like a rental, like a staged house.
Yes.
And it looked like it had live, laugh, love on it everywhere.
Mean,
it
was that's exactly my worst nightmare.
Like,
yeah.
And yeah, there's one, like, decal that said, like, the beach life. And I'm like, Vegas.
Kimberly totally caught all that.
You live in the desert.
Yeah. So I'm just like, just reading the clues. It didn't add, as they say on Dateline. Something in my gut said something wasn't right. So
the
now,
words of Keith Morrison.
So what do you think?
I think she was fake.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a reenactment.
Yeah. Well, they said David was a reenactment as well.
Really?
So David, yeah. I thought Caesar.
No, Caesar was a reenactment, but David was too. They reenacted his whole season until the very end.
David's a sex tour, so he's done this like 20 times.
That's like,
yeah, I've heard you guys talk about that, and then I needed to do some Googling to find out more about that.
Basically, sex tourism is kind of like these gay guys who go to Thailand or the Philippines. You can pay a certain amount of money.
Not just gay guys.
No, straight people as well. But you pay a certain amount of money on these websites, and basically you can meet anyone you would ever want to meet. And they will either have sex with you or they will meet you for marriageability.
They're kind of like
sex tourism.
They can either marry you or they can be like your partner while you're there on vacation.
Yeah, it's sex tourism.
I see.
Honestly, sex tourism. So, yeah.
So speaking, I'm sorry, Katie, what did you want to say?
No, I was just going to ask what they thought, if they think my theory might have some validity about David. That, like, there was a reason that these women kept, like...
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask the same thing.
Just my theory about David was that he kept saying that the women were too shy. Like, he met that one sort of the Ukrainian woman that we meet who meets him, but he had dated her at one point. Do you know what I'm talking about? But she was too shy for him. And then we meet Lana, and she's obviously unbelievably shy, in quotes. I mean...
Yeah,
I don't know. But my thought was there's something that he's very much into, that he is looking for someone who will do that with him. I don't know what the kink is.
That is that's fucking true.
That is absurd.
You're
a detective.
I am 100% in with that. He needs some kind of kink. They need to call him like master and like show their boobs to everybody.
Right.
Because he has spent, I think, over $250,000 and has been going to the Ukraine dozens of times. He's proposed to four women and has talked to, he said, over 1,000 women, and he still doesn't have a wife.
Which means that's how weird it is.
That's how weird it is.
That you know there are women there that would marry him just to come to the United States. So whatever it is that he's trying to get is real off the chart.
Yeah, that's and I don't think he wants a wife because... If you think of he wants a young 20-year-old woman.
Yeah.
He doesn't want someone his age to grow up with.
And he wants someone to be arm candy and who he can say, this is my really hot wife, Lana, who's going to be around to fuck me whenever I want. Mm-hmm. We're just going to ride around in an RV and she'll do anything I want because she knows that I hold all the purse strings.
And because honestly, probably prostitution's legal in Nevada. Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure that he has women that he hires at home as well in Las Vegas.
But I kind of feel like what he's into is, Katie's right, is so weird that he's gotten banned from all the local brothels in Vegas.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't think he's as rich as
they have his picture up, like at a bodega for writing forged checks.
Yeah. I'd like a chicken coop.
Yeah, it's something really weird. It's something really weird.
You guys, we are going to actually jump over to a date for Dateline now. So join us over on that. This was amazing.
But we're going to talk about Drag Race,
definitely. Woo.
And we're going to, I know that you have, I guess, interaction with some of the hosts from Dateline or. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you've got hot Dateline tea. We're going to talk about that.
And we can maybe talk about The Other Way just a bit. If you've seen the news.
About The Other Way. And probably, I think I'm going to have them dissect some of the freaky weird men Poodle have had sex with and when he almost died. So. We'll talk about that too. So be sure follow Kimberly and Katie, A Date with Dateline
on
the show
Twitter.
Notes. So follow them and listen to the second episode. Where can everybody find you, by the way?
AdateWithDateline.com, and we are Date Dateline on Instagram and Twitter, and we're on Facebook.
Perfect.
Great. All right, everybody. We'll see you on the other side. Part two.
Bye.
Bye.